I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
8:14, now joined by our friend Stephanie Regal, a gifted journalist, business writer for The Times, speaking to you, NOLA.com. Hey, Stephanie, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Good morning.
Morning. Let me ask you on a personal note. I'm reading a story here at NOLA.com about the battle lines redrawn as New Orleans church bankruptcy moves the next step. And I got to tell you, just on a personal note, how in the world do you keep all of this straight and accurate and factual?
Oh, you're nice. Well, I mean, that's my job. That's my job. So, yeah. It's a busy week, and I try not to make mistakes, and I try to present it fairly. So, hopefully we succeed. That's what we do. But it's a lot on this
one,
I'll say.
It is a lot, and that's why I just want to back up here and turn the floor.
Sorry, there's a fire alarm going off in my house. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I want you to be safe. Yeah, I want you to make everything's all right.
Yeah. I can walk outside if that would be better.
It might be, yeah.
Stay with me for a minute.
Somebody burning waffles?
Sorry.
What happened?
That's exactly what happened.
Seriously?
I think toast, actually.
The toast. Somebody burned the toast. Well, there you go.
I'm here. Okay.
Do you want to see if we can take a break or not? Oh, you all right, Stephanie?
I'm outside now. Yep.
You outside?
I'm outside now.
Okay, good. Got
that better? All
it
right.
Is.
Sorry about that.
Apparently somebody trying to burn your toast. You got the toast taken care of, though, right?
Thank you, yes.
Okay, good. So I'm just going to step back and let you, first of all, to make a comparison to the jailbreak at the Orleans Justice Center. If somebody's watching those cameras, none of this happens. So there's a big whole story behind that, right? Well, similarly here, if the church doesn't move pedophiles around and shield them, none of this is happening. Is that an accurate statement?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So go ahead.
I mean, this goes back many decades. And there were horrible things that have that happened, and I don't think anybody disputes that.
Just to keep it accurate. So with that being said, let's go to how we got from there to here. And where are we?
So 5 years ago in May, the church filed bankruptcy, following a page from the playbook that other dioceses had been doing around the country who were grappling with the same issue, right? Using the bankruptcy courts essentially as a way to handle a mass tort case. Mm-hmm. So rather than fighting 10, 20, 30, or 500 claims in the civil courts where victims could obviously have their day in court, the church files bankruptcy, freezes any state court lawsuits, and tries to work out a plan that would, in their words, equitably pay everybody something as financial compensation for the abuse they suffered.
Let me jump in 1 second, Stephanie. So as I understand it, the church filing bankruptcy forced the defendants into a class action type thing?
Basically, yes.
Okay. Right.
Basically, that is. I mean, in simplest terms, that is what we've seen playing out
okay.
here and in dioceses around the country. Where we have arrived at this juncture after five really contentious years, and one of the more expensive cases, is that the church has made a settlement offer tentatively that has been accepted tentatively by a court-appointed committee that has been negotiating with them on behalf of what are now more than 600 claimants in the case, abuse survivors who have filed claims, you know, saying they were abused by priests in this diocese. So this amount, and that's kind of where we are right now, roughly $189 million, not including what the survivors could potentially recover if some real estate is sold and if they go after one of the church's major insurance companies, Travelers Insurance. You know, it's a starting point and it's a significant milestone in this case. There is a very influential and vocal group of plaintiff attorneys who individually represent many of the abuse survivors, and they are not on board with this plan, and they don't feel that their interests and the interests of their clients were represented in the negotiations, the mediations that have taken place behind closed doors to arrive at this figure. You may remember last fall, the church made an initial settlement offer of $62 million, not including insurance proceeds. And the survivors committee, the official court-appointed committee that I referred to a minute ago, had come up with a plan that amounted to nearly $1 billion, including insurance money and also a whole list of potential revenue sources from selling stained glass windows in the St. Louis Cathedral to selling gold chalices out of the, you know, archdiocese headquarters safe. And so on. We knew those two numbers were both opening salvos and that the two sides would eventually come together on something. And that's what this tentative settlement agreement represents. But for a bankruptcy settlement like this to be approved, it has to be voted on by 2/3 of the survivors. And it's going to be, you know, maybe really difficult to get there with some of the attorneys pushing back against this. So that's kind of where we are.
Let me take a break. When we come back, I'm going to pick it up, Stephanie, with how do we define survivors? Because it seems like, and that's the first time the light bulb went off, really, that the Archdiocese declaring bankruptcy forced the plaintiffs into a class action kind of situation where it's like, no, we're not going to go negotiate with you individually. We'll do it as a group. But did the plaintiffs have any say in that? We'll talk about that when we come back. And I guess the other question is, when it comes to assets and where's this money going to come from, it goes to the distinction between, just like in a corporation, I've said this before, where you got, you know, you got a power company and then you got Energy New Orleans, you got Energy Louisiana, subsidiaries or whatever it will be, or however companies incorporate in different states to shield the mothership. That's kind of what the church is doing here. 821 traffic now, WWL. 825, quickly back to Stephanie Regal, business writer for the Times-Picayune, NOLA.com. Stephanie, I was doing some voice work a while back, and I was reading something, and it said, due to a string of financial troubles, it led to bankruptcy. And I thought to myself, well, that obviously there's got to be financial troubles or there wouldn't be bankruptcy. But, you know, having done this a while, I don't care. I just read what they give me. But when it comes to this, the church did have to prove financial difficulties or bankruptcy before the judge would allow them to force the plaintiffs into a class?
Well, okay, let me be clear, though. The plaintiffs, there was actually talk recently about using a legal mechanism to turn this into an official class action suit. They didn't do that, but for the purposes of discussion, right, bankruptcy in this, you know, in this situation effectively, you know, acts like a class action.
But in, for that to happen, the church had to prove that they were?
I'm sorry, I can't answer that because I wasn't covering it back then. I mean, Archbishop Greg Amon was very clear when he filed bankruptcy in May 20.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
2020, that the church was not insolvent, you know, but that they were using this as a way to address what were then just a few dozen, not that that's an insignificant amount, but a few dozen abuse claims and lawsuits. This is a strategy, a proven strategy and a controversial strategy to deal with mass tort litigation, you know, and it was used in the Purdue Pharma case. It's been used in asbestos litigation. Mm-hmm. And that's when churches around the country, dioceses, started doing it, you know, as they started getting hit 20 years ago with all of these lawsuits and claims of child sex abuse by priests.
So when you said two-thirds of survivors,
yes,
who comprises survivors at this point? People that have come forward?
At this point, it's anyone who has filed a claim in the case. And since our legislature, you know, opened the window allowing people more time to file claims, you know, of past abuse, that window is now open until 2024. Regardless of how long ago the abuse occurred, we have seen hundreds more claims filed in this case. They're filed anonymously. We don't know who they are. I think, you know, some of the most egregious examples were filed many years ago by people who had the courage and, you know, the wherewithal psychologically, emotionally, and financially to file lawsuits and to come forward. And some of those people have been the staunchest advocates on behalf of survivors, but you've also had hundreds more now who have filed claims. And I would imagine some of these claims are very strong. And honestly, some of them might be not as strong. You know, I mean, I've heard that there could be claims that people say who, you know, lived elsewhere, but were somehow tangentially related to the diocese. And let me just say this, if and when this plan is confirmed, claims will be evaluated by an independent claims, you know, an independent trustee that's actually appointed by the committee that represents survivors and will determine, you know, which claims get a certain amount of money, you know, and which claims get less money.
So the law depends on definitions, right? So I'm wondering, if people have until 2027 to come forward, how could two-thirds of survivors vote on this if we don't know how many survivors we have yet, if that deadline's been extended to 2027, or how you could have a vote before 2027? Am I making stuff up in my head here or not, Stephanie?
No, you're not making stuff up in your head, but do we have time to answer this?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll give you...
It's a little bit complicated.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Hang on a second, and you can come back right after the break, if that's okay, because I'd like to hear this.
Sure.
Thank you. Stephanie Regal, when we come back right now, time for WWL First News. 8:38, Stephanie Regal, business writer at Times Picayune, NOLA.com, very talented reporter, nice enough to give us a couple of more moments of her time, because we were talking about the Archdiocese's tentative settlement with the bankruptcy case. We talked about two-thirds of survivors voting, but yet the legislator given victims until 2027 to come forward. Stephanie, I think, is where we left this.
Right. But there has been a deadline that has been agreed to, and there have been late filed claims that the church has continued to allow to come in to the case. Mm-hmm. Separate from this, you know, once the archdiocese as an entity comes out of bankruptcy, if in fact it does, then it is shielded from any future liability or, you know, litigation in this area. But the parishes that it is affiliated with and insures were exposed and are not in bankruptcy. So part of this tentative settlement envisions the parishes essentially going into bankruptcy, which would enable them to set their own bar date, basically, giving abuse survivors, say, a month or two, 45 days is a number I've heard, 60 days, something like that, to come forward and file claims against individual parishes. And then once that happens and once that deadline expires, you know, then the parishes would supposedly be shielded from liability in the future. So I know that that's confusing, but this plan sort of envisions, protections basically for the church and for the parishes, and gives survivors more time to come forward and file claims. That's how you kind of, I guess, get around that. And then at whatever point the judge basically allows this to go out for a vote, you need to have 2/3 of everybody that's filed a claim at that point to vote to approve it.
When it comes to
and then you come back again and she still has to approve it.
So when it comes to the parishes, at what point are they culpable for this? Because the management of the parish changes from person to person. How do you define assets of the parish? Is it the church that's in the parish or the schools? Do you understand where I'm going with this, Stephanie? Because if you're going to make the parish liable, well, then that means that they're assets unless they declare bankruptcy.
That's what I'm saying. They're all going to file bankruptcy in globo. They will file what's called a prepackaged bankruptcy, all 110 of them. And this would shield their assets from future liability. In return, they will have to agree to put up a part of the settlement. And we don't know yet how many tens of millions their contribution will represent or even where the money will come from. The case that this was modeled after was the Diocese of Rockville Center, which is near Long Island, New York. And in that case, their parishes filed what they call this prepackaged bankruptcy and contributed $53 million of the total $300-something million settlement that was ultimately approved. And in some parishes, it came out of an endowment or a trust fund, not a trust fund, but, parish reserves. And in other parishes, it had to come out of the pockets of the people in the pews. It's also possible that the money that represents the contribution from the parishes could come from a wealthy individual or from the archdiocese itself through some other fund like the Catholic Community Foundation. I mean, I'm just being hypothetical here, but I'm saying I don't want people to think necessarily, that their parish is going to close or that they're going to have to write a $10,000 check to bail out the church, because I'm quite sure that's not going to happen. But we're not entirely clear yet what will happen.
Thank you, Stephanie. I appreciate your time and the insight. We'll talk to you again. I'm sure that That is the legal thing to do and the prudent thing to do. I don't think it's the right thing to do. But just like a big corporation, they're doing what they can to protect themselves. We'll be back in a flash talking about termites with Joe Martin, owner of Terminix, board-certified entomologist, when we return on WWL. It is currently 8:48. We're going to talk about termites in a little bit. But, you look at Wall Street exploding with the tariffs on the European Union being put off by the president. But I'm still trying to understand what's going on here, because he says he's going to do it. Then he says he's not going to do it. And the stock market goes crazy. And nothing's really changed, right? Other than the European Union saying that they might want to talk. It's just, I guess I'm trying to understand this, but he just says that he's going to put on tariffs than he doesn't. So it's like, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that. And then all of a sudden the market goes crazy because he didn't do what he said he was going to do. Like, almost like having a gun to your head. It's like, where I'm going to put a gun to your head. All right, now I'm putting a gun down. And everybody is excited and happy. So I guess maybe if he'd not picked up the gun, I don't know. I'm trying to understand all of this stuff, and I'm not doing too well with it. Next hour, we're going to talk to Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. We'll go over some of the prospects the Pelicans be looking at for the draft and what the biggest offseason questions are. And he's the host of Locked On Pelicans, and we'll talk about keeping your kids on a regimen or a schedule during the summer. Joe Martin joins us now, owner of Terminix, board-certified entomologist. How are you, Joe?
Hey, Tommy, how are you? Doing well.
I'm all right. So let's talk about where we are in swarm season right now, because I mentioned I was outside playing, hitting a tennis ball for the dog, and at dusk I tried to come in, but I had the lights on yesterday, and I didn't really see a lot of swarming or anything. Where do we stand in swarm season right now?
So I would say right now we're in the heart of it. Last
really?
Week we saw our first pretty significant Formosan termite swarm, and we're going to see these termite swarms through June. Mm. Right now I'm standing outside, and it looks like it may be lining up for tonight. You know, usually they like to swarm on a after a afternoon rain, still weather. High humidity with a very light breeze, and these termites like to swarm out, and they're trying to find a mate when they drop their wings.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did cut the grass over the weekend. I noticed a bunch of wings under the patio, so apparently they are swarming. What do we need to do? I always make it like the Diary of Anne Frank in a way where I turn the lights out, and I don't want the termites to know I'm there. I'm quiet. What literally or seriously do we have to do to protect ourselves from the swarms?
So we're not going to ever stop the termites from swarming. They're going to do their thing. Nature never fails. It's going to succeed. So the best thing we can do is preventative treatments on structures for your house or business. You know, we built our houses where termites live, and we built our houses out of dead wood, and termites eat dead wood. So the best thing we can do is preventative treatments for our structures, whether it be a chemical treatment, which is a complete barrier around your house, or baiting options. So that's going to help prevent termites from entering. But when the termites are swarming, it's hard to stop. And we always say, hey, when the termites are swarming, it's our one chance in the entire year to see where the termites are coming from. Are they coming from a tree? Are they coming from your house? So it's very important to look out where these termites are coming from.
What about determining whether or not you have termites? Is it, they call it kick out or frass? What are we talking about here?
So frass is a drywood termite. That's not the termites we're seeing in this time of year. Even though you may see some frass in certain sections of the city, we are looking for mud trails and mud tubes. It looks like little pinholes, almost the size of a pencil tip, mm-hmm. that shows a little bit of mud, and that's a sign of Formosan termites.
So here's a question that I had, I was thinking of yesterday. Why would the termites go to the house if I have trees in front of the house? Why would they not go eat the tree? Or why couldn't I put out some kind of piece of delicious wood in the yard that the termites would go to and leave the house alone? Is that dumb?
Well, they'll live in a tree. Formosan termites love to live in trees, and that's one of our problems during hurricanes is these trees are left untreated. Mm-hmm. There was one study that almost 70-80%, I believe, of our oak trees were infested with Formosan termites, which makes these oak trees weak during windstorms. But as far as leaving a piece of wood out, that's very similar to what a baiting option is. It's a cellulose material with a product that kills the termites when they eat the bait. But termites trail randomly, Tommy, so there's no real way to find out where they're going.
Tell me about, somebody texted in about roaches and these big outside roaches, the two-colored ones that can fly sometimes. I saw one or two-tone about the size of a Buick the other day. Can you keep those out ever or not? Or do they just come in from outside?
No, we can keep American roaches out. That's what we're seeing is the big roaches that fly around. And what they like is a moist, warm place to live. And just like termites, we have moist, warm places around our house and gardens and mulch. American roaches love drains, maybe behind a ice maker and a warm place in your shed. But a preventative granule treatment or spray around your house usually keeps those big roaches out. But, hey, you're sitting on your porch and you see one fly up. It's not very pleasant.
No, it's not, especially when they pick up your kid and carry him off. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. If somebody wants to know more about Terminix, how do they find out?
Give us a call at 834-7330, or we're online at TerminixNola.com.
You guys are going to come out and do the inspection. I think I'm going to have you all spray for roaches while I'm at it, because I get tired of seeing them. Joe Martin, owner of Terminix, board-certified entomologist, 855 Traffic Now, WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.